Welcome to Money Matters with certified financial planner Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Hello and good morning. You know, I don't know if I want to call this, it's not 2008, or this segment here, or back to basics, because I'm going to kind of mix up a couple of thoughts here, but I'm really thinking in today's opening monologue, it's really kind of a back to basics. Some things really struck me this past week as we go through all of this tumultuous situation. And it definitely is more tumultuous than it has been for a very long time. Huge multi-hundred point swings in a day. On Wednesday, we go down 450 points. Right out of the chute. This is after, you know, down 200 on Monday, too. And it rips back. At one point, actually going green before we finish down slightly for the day. And then we rally 250 points on Friday. A huge rally. All as we are mesmerized by Jim Cramer and others running around, scratching our beards, and oh my gosh, Ebola, Ebola, nothing good could happen as long as Ebola. It'll be 3 weeks. I remember hearing old Jim Cramer saying, it's 3 week incubation. We can't have any good market for 3 weeks. And the market goes up 250 points. And now, of course, we have the same people dancing around like they called the bottom. It's just the way the financial press works. People pretend constantly that they got it right. They picked the bottoms. They didn't get you out. They were optimistic at the right times. They were pessimistic at the right times. But it's not true, and that's why I want to go back to basics. It's simply not true. Nobody called the bottom on Wednesday, or was it the bottom? I don't know if it's the bottom. Guess what? Stay tuned, and we'll find out if it's the bottom. Nobody knows. But we pretend to, and we go through all these great exercises. In a world that has no attention span, none. I was thinking about some things and kind of looking at some old stuff that I'd kind of gathered over the years, right? Some of the stuff you weed through, and I've got this big old folder thing in this. I don't know. Sometimes I don't even look at the bottom of this thing for months or even over a year. I won't even look at some of the stuff that drifts to the bottom. And so I occasionally dig through. And you come back to this. Stocks have done 10% for your whole life. 10. 10. I mean, nothing. Nothing is even close. Nothing. And we get into these great ideas of, because our attention span is zero, that I'm going to trade the stock market. No, you're not. You will lose. Study after study after study. And forget the studies. Nobody wants to do the studies because they're above the studies. We're smarter than that. We know this super trading system over here. Or I'm just intuitive and smart and know what to do. And I hear people say it all the time. All the time. Heard it today. Already. I kid you not. Dave, we're not done with this downside. Okay. Okay. That's a proclamation I can't make. Don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But here's the other part of that, too. People make that proclamation. They'll go to the coffee shop, make that proclamation, and they know more about investing than people around them. So what do people now know? It's not done. It's not done going down. So I better wait before committing any new capital to the market. Wait for what? Another proclamation? Hey, you don't know. It feels terrible whenever there's a decline. I mean, whenever there's a decline. We can talk all day long about the fact, the simple fact, that markets fluctuate. They do. And then they rip to all-time highs. They fluctuate some more in between, go to all-time highs, fluctuate some more, meaning go down, correct, move sideways. It's always awful. A 5% feels down, feels terrible. You know, we can talk about it. Because in the abstract, 5 down, really? Like, that's a big deal? It's not a big deal. No, that's in the abstract. But see, now that we're off a whopping 6% from the all-time highs, after tripling off the bottom, everybody's running around with their hair on fire. It's what they do. It's what we do because we're human. People are not geared for this. Why, I don't know. Because it's the simplest thing in the whole wide world. You make 10%, you're not allowed to go fix anything. You're not allowed to run the company. You can't clean the sidewalk. You just get to get 10. Your whole life. Nothing is even remotely close to this. Nothing. The numbers are astounding. Every piece of evidence, every bit of evidence says the only rational thing to do with your dollars, all of your dollars, all of them, except the ones you need real soon, all of them, is to buy stocks. It's the only rational thing. Everything else is based in fear. Nothing else has come even close. So I want to make that case to a degree and say, look, this is all the evidence. I don't know what's going to happen on Monday. I'm sure you know better than I do what's going to happen on Monday or how far down the market's going to go. Or if we bottomed on Wednesday, you undoubtedly have an opinion about that. I choose not to. I literally work at not having an opinion because there isn't any point in having an opinion. All I know is that markets are volatile. And like Kevin and I were talking before, hey, yes, I talked about this at a recent meeting, volatility. And there's no reason under the sun to buy. Except it's the best performing investment, period, over long periods of time. I just can't give you a rational reason why it's going to go up next week. But at some point, it'll just start going up. It'll go up to all-time highs again. Why is it the only rational investment? Why? Because nothing else comes close to 10. Nothing else has a passive ability to earn this much money. Everything else requires work, brilliance, invention, and time. This takes none. You put it in, the market goes up. And so you get questions like, can I lose it all? You can on an individual stock. Absolutely. Can you lose it all in the market? I suppose, theoretically, if it all went to zero. And I would also surmise that whatever bonds and cash and other things you have, they're worth zero also. Zero. Because if all the corporation's stuff is worth zero, so is yours and mine. Mutual funds don't go to zero. They don't. They can't, because that would require all of the stocks to go to zero. All of them. And so we go back, and you go back in time, and you say, well, what's the rate of return for the last 20 years in the market? Well, it's like 9.8. You know what investors have gotten? Less than 5. Because they're smart, they're clever, they can zig and zag, they move in and out. Because we're clever by half. You put it in, you leave it alone. You buy the dips, you buy things that are cheap. The only question you should be asking yourself is what got cheap? Kevin asks a brilliant question. I'm sure hardly anybody caught it. But it was brilliant. It was brilliant. He asked about oil. Why? Because it's the thing that has really gotten wet. That's just brilliant. What about it? Are there bargains? Wow, great question. That's the question to ask. Where are the bargains? What's cheap? What's dear? Not, is the market going to go up? Have we hit a bottom? Our attention span is getting shorter and shorter and shorter because we're demanding answers to impossible questions. And we feed ourselves full of commentary that's absolute lunacy. We call it information. When you're watching people run around with their hair on fire, they're the king of what's happening now. Market's going up and they're optimistic. Market's going down and they're pessimistic. Really? How helpful is that to play on the existing emotion of the day to pretend that you have been calling it right when you haven't? Attention spans are terrible. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're inundated. Everybody goes back to and talks about how things were so much better in the 1950s. And, you know, they seem that way because I know my childhood seems calm, seemed loving. I knew the boundaries, right? Boundaries are different now. But you see, when we look at the 1950s, as a reminder, we didn't have civil rights movement yet. Women had been barely voting. And they certainly weren't getting equal pay. Breast cancer? Really? What treatments did we have then? Oh, and that little known disease, polio? Prostate cancer? You're done. Good old days. Sure, some things are. But we see things incorrectly. We see short-term fear, short-term panic. Well, I can't buy now. Market's all, yeah, you can. What are you buying for what? For income? Well, yeah, I'm going to want to buy some dividend payers, take a little bit of income. Good, you're earning more than the cash. Instantly, day one, boom, 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 you earn more. In fact, a lot more. You earn more than 10-year treasuries do. Instantly. Instantly. We worry about short-term fluctuations and miss this amazing point. Do you know how many times in history that you could buy rising streams of income in the great corporations of the world and immediately get more than a 10-year treasury? This is the final Jeopardy question. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's rare. You never get to do this. Can now. Have been able to for the last couple of years. Big shock that as the great corporations of the world have higher cash flows and pay out higher returns year after year after year after year after year, that we would have a market that moves to all-time highs. In spite of whatever disease you have, Ebola, SARS, polio in the old days, whatever nut job there is in the world. Well, this Putin, he's an evil guy. I know. All the Russians are. My whole life. They're bad people. As a matter of fact, you know, those criminal people actually did this. Actually true, because I'm Czech. They actually murdered in the 1950s. My ancestors, when they rolled across the border, just murdered. They all disappeared. They all disappeared. Never to be heard from again. They're just murdering radical nuts. They are. In the Middle East, really? Yeah, they get along so well all the time. It's just like, you know, now it's all new. No. It's always been that way. In spite of all that, in spite of the Jimmy Carters, the Richard Nixons, the Barack Obamas of the world, the markets roll. In spite of the lack of leadership, in spite of a Congress that doesn't seem to move. That's another point. I know we don't need a lot of movement there, right? Because they don't do good things. But it rolls. That's what it does. But we want to catch this little, I don't know if I should buy this thing. We're asking the wrong questions all the time. What's the market going to do? Don't know. That's the only honest answer. Don't know. And yet, $10,000 invested 200 years ago is worth $5.6 billion with a B dollars in stocks. Only $8 million in bonds and $26,000 in gold. I know, gold's the answer because gold retains value. I'll tell you what, you retain your value of a double, okay? And after inflation, you did double your money. I'll go ahead and take the big risk with the phony money and get the $5.6 billion with a B. That's what stocks do over time. And during that time, we had great depressions, the Great Recession. Markets get cut in half. Will this market get cut in half? I don't think so. There's just no reason to think so. The leverage is out of the system. It's not 2008. Markets correct all the time. About every 10 months we have a squiggle like this. We just haven't had one for a couple of years. Everybody wants the long term. Everybody sees those big charts, the 10,000 that grows to the moon over their lifetime. Everybody wants that. But somehow we don't want the squiggles in between. Turn off the news. You have to. Had a nice conversation yesterday. Lovely people, really lovely people. I watched the first 5 minutes of the local news and turned it off. Good for her. I want to know what's going on. I just don't need it dripping in my brain all day long about what's wrong in the world. Because it's all wrong all the time. And if we let those inputs continue to rest in our souls all the time, that's how we feel. That the world isn't getting better. That women have far more rights. That we solve diseases that we died from not long ago. Our parents are alive and healthy when they were dead just not long ago because of various diseases. And all we do is fixate on the squiggle, the problems, the bad guys. No reason to know what the market's going to do. What I do know is that stocks got significantly cheaper in the energy space, significantly, over the last month. That when we have 5% corrections, we have areas that go down 15 or 20. We have high-quality companies that can snap 10, 15, 20%. Just what we all say quietly when we're away from it. That's what I want to do. I want to buy bargains. But when they come, we hesitate. Or we don't pull the trigger. Why? Because it's going to get worse. Markets go down 6, 7%, go higher. They go down sometimes 10, 6, 7, then they go on to 10. And then when they go to 10, sometimes they go to 12. But there's no definition that you're going to go to 10. That means you're going to go to 15, so I'm going to wait. But what do people do? Because we feel so terrible because they're terrible. It's messy. It's scary. I don't know why it's scary. All the evidence in the world. The only rational thing to do is own the great corporations of the world and go home. Just go home. Go see your grandkids. Go watch a soccer game. Go listen to children laugh. Go have fun. Go have fun. You're not going to figure out the future. But owning the great corporations of the world, especially when you buy them on a dip, has been a strategy that not only has worked most of the time, it's worked all the time. Every decade. Every lifetime. Your lifetime. Your parents' lifetime. Your grandparents. Your great-grandparents. And we worry about a squiggle. Pretty remarkable, isn't it? How human emotions can get so in the way. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We got to take a quick break. I hope you'll give us a call. We'll be right back.
This is
a name, amazing results.
Where are you?
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number. I like looking at some of these old things. It's fun. I mean, it really is. When you stop and you think about, you know, the rates of return and inflation over the years, just like you, life goes so quickly, it's so fast, and the pace is intensified, and of course, how fast things roll. They do roll along so quickly nowadays, as we get older, right? But one of the things that it really, we are so under a microscope every day, news-wise. I think it's so hard. We just have to take, sometimes just pull back, just turn it off, pull back, and look at some of the data, some of the old data, right? And the new, but not the new in a trading thing. As an example, I've been trying to educate for a long, long time on this, and I'm going to keep doing it because this, I am convinced now that interest rates have moved clear back down. You know, they touched below 2%, the 10-year treasury. Right? Touched below 2% on Wednesday. Now we closed at 2.2. Still really low. And of course, we all knew, all of those guys on TV, they all knew, the predictors, you know, because they know what's going on. You know, they look at all the charts and graphs. And after all, interest rates are easy to predict. I mean, we don't know what the market's going to do and individual corporations and stuff like that. But we can know what interest rates are going to do, right? And so we've known, absolutely certainly, that interest rates were going to rise for the last 2 years. They had to. I mean, before that, we knew that, too, because, of course, they were printing money, and I know there was people calling the program all the time. I mean, you know, this can't end well, because we're going to print and print and print and print, and interest rates are going to skyrocket, inflation is going to go out of control. It's all, you know, it's all bad. And we all knew that. For years, we've known this. And, of course, interest rates have gone down. Down. And stayed down. And these are really smart people, and some of them make millions of dollars a year because, you know, that's what Wall Street does. You know, we got to pay our predictors gobs of money to predict what things like interest rates are going to do, because that's simple. It's hard to, you know, predict stock market. We know that. But interest rates are easy. Kind of not, huh? They're wrong. Not just now. They're wrong 5 years ago. They were wrong 10 years ago. Believe it or not, economists, surveyed economists, are wrong more over the last 20 years. Are you ready? Than a coin flip. They're wrong more than 50% of the time in the direction of interest rates over the next 6 months. I'm not asking for an eternity. 6 months. 6 months. But oh my gosh, stop the presses. Everybody freeze in their place when they tell us what interest rates are going to do or the market is going to do. We don't know. We don't know. Here's what we do know. According to history, when interest rates rise, because you're going to hear this as interest rates go up, because they'll go up at times, and they did last year for a little bit before going back down. But they did go up for a little bit, and what was Wall Street telling us when the Dow was thousands of points below where it is now? Stocks go down when interest rates rise. That's what they said. Absolutely, with certainty. Puff out your chest. Know this stuff. I know this stuff. I'm smart. I'm a Wall Street guy. But here's the problem. It's true only when interest rates are high and going higher. It's not at all true. In fact, it's never been true. Not one time. Not one time. Now, if somebody gets on TV and says, I am going to lay out a case for you as to why this is the first time in history that when interest rates rise from this level, the stock market will go down. I want to lay out that case right now. That's not what they said. Not one person. But person after person after person after person came out and said, when interest rates rise, it's bad for stocks. And that is not true. Not when interest rates are this low. 100% of the time, when the market has been at 2%, that's where we are, and it goes up, the market goes up. In fact, 100% of the time when the bond market, the 10-year treasury, is at 3%, the market goes up when interest rates go up. And 100% of the time when the bond market is at 4%, it goes up. 100% of the time. That is always what's happened. But you're going to hear it. When rates go higher, you're going to hear the mantra. Be careful. Remember one of my own reminders, right? Be careful. My own reminders, my Ten Commandments, right? Be careful of what I know that's wrong. See, I know that interest rates, when they go up, that's bad for stocks. But I'm wrong. Dead wrong. 100% of the time. That's not been true. It's been good for stocks if interest rates are this low. But when interest rates are high and going higher, guess what? Flip it around. So we've got to know, and we've got to be careful, and we've got to look at the numbers from time to time. And when interest rates rise, we're going to hear that again. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've got to take a break for Fox News. And when we come back, I would love to have a phone call or two at 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. If you prefer, email dave@petsofinancial.net. In the second hour, as I promised last couple of weeks, I wanted to take some time in our opening segment again and deal with I'm going to call it the annuity crisis, the fear crisis, because I'm getting questions and tons of questions on these, so I know all the annuity salespeople are out there. I know there's radio programs trying to sell annuities and things. And the questions I've been getting and the emails I've been getting regarding it are, how can they say things like this? How can they say you get stock market returns with no risk? You know, if that's true, or and then also then you reverse it around, and I get many questions about, that just sounds too good to be true. Well, of course it is, because we would all do that if that was true, right? I mean, Goldman Sachs would be, let's take our billions of dollars, let's go do that. I would take my money and go do that. Take all of our client money and go do that. Anyway, I want to break that down a little bit. I've got some real live examples, three of them, in front of me here, and I can break it down just a little bit more and hopefully answer some more of those questions, a little bit more depth on that in our education segment. So hopefully you'll stick around for that. And our number again, 580-KIDO. And let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to Jim. Thanks for calling, man.
Morning, Dave. How's it going?
Good, good, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I was going to just mention that to me, one of the biggest criterion in getting a good stock, a good investment, is longevity of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And back Monday, I was checking on the internet, checking my money market account, and I noticed it was like $4,100 less than I thought it should be, than it had been before. So I checked my activity, and lo and behold, I had bought a stock. What's interesting was I had put a buy order on this stock that was about 15% down,
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that was, execute. I wasn't really in the market for a stock right immediately, and particularly not that one. But anyway, it was Johnson Controls. And my my stock market person had recommended it, you know, and so anyway, so I had it. So I had it at let's see, the when I put the buy order in, it was at 48, and then the buy order was at like 41, so I went down and I bought it. Well, anyway, researching a bit of Johnson Controls, I find that it had been established in 1885, and it had changed its name since then. But like I told her, and, you know, of all the figures, that financial figures that come out showing the health of a company, I would say something that's been around over 100 years is one of the main indicators.
Well, it obviously there's been a few changes, but when you can survive a world with that many changes, it does say a lot about what it is you make is continuing to be in supply or in demand. And you're doing it well, and there's some kind of a corporate culture there that allows them to continue to expand their market and grow their market, or they would not be in business.
Right. So that's so. But a lot of people are just interested in the quick buck, the fly by night, and you might even put Micron in that or whatever. Who knows what computers are going to do in the future?
Yeah.
But for instance, I mean, the old example is, you know, used as buggy whips, right?
Mm-hmm.
Buggy whip makers have gone out of business. However, some like Johnson Controls might have, you know, I mean, you know, if you see buggy whips going out of whatever, then you change, you know. The same with oil companies. If petroleum is kind of on the decline, they start doing research into other areas.
It's absolutely true. And they also, as they... You would, if you drilled for oil the same way you did 30 years ago or even 20 years ago, you would be out of business. Everybody has new technology, and it's adapted, or you die.
But I heard one interesting thing, speaking of oil and speaking of a particular company, that Legos did have a pact or a deal with Shell. Now, apparently, Shell is drilling in the Antarctic. And Legos is located, I guess, in well, they're Danish. And so, anyway, due to a lot of environmental pressure, Legos is cutting their association with Shell.
Huh. No, I didn't know that.
It's
yeah.
Interesting. That's just what I heard in the news.
Yeah, interesting.
So, anyway, but I still say, you know, like you say, stocks. And I agree, I like stocks, but I also say diversify to some extent.
Oh, I do too. Diversify in stocks. How's that?
Well, it's all equities. Now I do have some bonds that my father had given me, and there's not a lot of bonds, but they are up. They're not losing, and
yep.
They are paying over 4%.
Yep, I know. Now, and Jim, obviously, when you're, like I said, if you need money, the only rational thing to own for the long term is stocks. That's
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Bonds are not going to keep pace with inflation. I get that, but if you need cash flow within the next few years, that's why you hold some bonds. That's why you hold some cash. It's what we do in all of our income portfolios. You have to have that there because you can't sell off your stocks when they're down.
Right.
Can't do it.
Nope. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I'm kind of weird in the way, you know, other people are, well, fearful. And I, you know, like I said before, I hate fear. When the market goes up, I profit. When the market goes down, I kind of enjoy everybody else pissing and moaning.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, have
All
a
right.
good day.
You have a good day yourself, Jim.
The thing is, enjoy life.
Exactly. Have a good day. And be happy you're blessed enough to be born in this era of phenomenal medical and luxury. Right?
Yeah, if only I trusted the medical establishment, you know. If only they weren't in for it, you know, 90% for the buck.
Yeah, that's what the free markets are all about, man. That's what they are all about. Jim, have a good day.
Thank you much. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We need to take a quick break. And, hey, if you prefer email, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number. Running down memory lane a little bit here today, kind of looking at some of the old basics of the numbers and thinking about that. When you get into tumultuous times, that's what I like to do. And in the next hour, as I said, I've had so many comments, questions. How can these folks say, you know, the things they do with regarding these annuities? How can they get away with that? What are the rules, things like that? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. But more importantly, I've got three more exact examples of well-known annuities and how they've done over the tumultuous 2008 period. I think that'll be very interesting because that's what we want to do is when we go through those times is to get stock market returns, but no risk, right? So we'll look at that again in the next hour. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ken in Nampa. Ken, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A week or so ago, you had an interview with Governor Otter.
Mm-hmm.
I hate admitting my ignorance on the radio, but he mentioned borrowing money for the state for various projects at 11 basis points.
Mm-hmm.
What does that translate into annual percentage rate?
0.11.
0.11?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Don't worry about it. Hey, if you're in accounting, you're in business, or you're in finance, you're going to know what a basis point is. But most people don't.
I think I used to know that, but I'm getting old, and I just flat stopped.
That's right. There's just 100 basis points per 1%. So that hopefully will help everybody, Ken, so don't feel ignorant.
I apologize for the dumb question.
It's not a dumb question. I think it's a great question, and I'm really glad somebody asked because.
Thank you.
Yeah. So thanks for helping us out. And have a great day. Yeah. And our number is 580-543-6580-KIDO. Hey, anybody else have a simple question? I'll bet you that there are half the audience has the same question. Okay? You'd be helping everybody, just like Ken did. So I think that was really awesome. All right, you know what, I do have to take a quick break. I got behind in our first one, so I think what we'll do is just slip it in here real quick, and we'll be right back after take a quick break.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome back, and thanks again for joining us. Hey, we've got a couple minutes left in this hour, and I'll share some things. There's so much going on, right? I mean, there's so many things to talk about. I could be talking about what really happened with the MLPs, and I know now I'm using lingo, and that makes some people's eyes glaze over. We had some real interesting moves within the market, and as I've been saying, you get those 5, 10% corrections. You get some sectors that are down 10, 15, 20, 30%, and more in the commodities space. Those are really getting whacked hard. We saw some of the energy companies go down by 30-40% in a week and rip higher. It's crazy, crazy movements. And those are not normal fundamental market moves. That's crazy hedge fund leverage, things like that. It goes away, it creates bargains. That's why you got to be ready, you got to be in the game. I'm going to steal a line for John Lennon. He had a great quote, life is what happens while you are busy making other plans. Well, I also think that it's really, you know, to kind of make a twist on that, returns, market returns, are what happens while you fuss over things you can't control. Over things you can't control. We do it all the time. You can't control. You can't know what the future is. Quit fussing about it. Be in. Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But remember, in the second hour, I'm going to start off because of this is pounded in the news. And with all of the volatility, you can hear it now. They're going to amp up all of the advertisements and all the sales tactics are going to be, you can't be in the market. It's too volatile. What we want to do is we want to capture those gains and not have any losses. And people are asking all the time, emailing me questions. Hey, how can they say things like that? How can they get away with saying things like that Why is it too good to be true? So we'll talk about that. I'm going to give three live examples of annuities that are trapped in this, and what, how have they done during all of the volatility of the 2008 crisis. Now, as we're winding up this hour, I really wanted to kind of go right back to some of the things we talked about, right? The basics, right? The only rational thing to own is stocks. Yes, a diversified portfolio of the great corporations of the world. It's the only rational investment to make. It's everything else has performed not even remotely close to as well, and requires in some cases management and things like that. But it is creates a volatility, and it sometimes creates a sense that there's a great amount of risk that really isn't there when we look at it long term. And one of the things that you always have to recognize is that times aren't suddenly bad. Times have been tumultuous all the way through. You know, 100 years ago, the average life expectancy for a man was only 47 years. That's it. 47 years. And only 14% of the homes had a bathtub, for crying out loud. We got it good, folks. Let's not forget that. Hey, we'll be right back after Fox News at the top of the hour, and we'll talk for another hour. Thanks for joining us.
Halloween is a time for scary and spooky, and it's definitely trick-or-treat time from the Music Theater of Idaho as they serve up the musical thriller Sweeney Todd.
But there's no place like London.
Sweeney Todd, an award-winning musical rated PG-13 for its dark humor and themes, is a twisted tale of face-shaving and pie-making. Twist of the knife, that is. Sweeney Todd, October 23rd through the 25th at the Napa Civic Center. Four performances only. For tickets, call the MTI box office at 468-2385 or go to mtionline.org. That's mtionline.org. Sweeney Todd is both humorous and grotesque, and parental guidance is suggested, as some scenes may be too intense for younger audience members. Sweeney Todd, October 23rd through the 25th. Get your tickets now at MTI.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters. And, of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Not the station, not our broker-dealer. We'll talk stocks. We'll talk about different things, different products, different sectors. You shouldn't own them because of that. Plenty of crazy, stupid noise out there about buying and selling. Absolute nonsense. Craziness. That's not what we're here to do. But sometimes we do mention something. And as an example, or we'll talk about a local stock like Micron, something like that, where it has an economic impact as well. So please, please, if you have any questions, we do love to have them here. It's 580-KIDO. 580-5436. If you prefer, it's email. Email is Dave at Petso Financial. Petso is P-E-T-S-O, not the sauce. PetsoFinancial.net is how you reach us on email. Now, speaking of emails, I've had piles of questions, both emails and people stop and talk. We had somebody ask a question yesterday at the office about all these claims that are making. So, and so if I can kind of phrase them all together, the question, they ring around two things. One is, it sounds too good to be true. Is it? Well, yes, of course it is. And I think the logic, simple logic will tell you that. We all know that in our heart, right? We already know that. But I'll come back to that and talk about it, okay? And then the other question is really more indignant. It's like, how can they say those things? Really? Why is it the regulators let them do that? I mean, how can you say that? Well, because insurance regulators apparently don't care about the senior citizens, because that's the primary target. I have no other explanation. I don't know why. I don't know why Idaho's Department of Insurance won't do anything. I don't know why they don't just borrow the rules from some of the other states. It's not good, but it's better than the nonsense we have now. So many of these annuities are banned in, like, Utah. Banned. Because they don't meet the criteria. The surrender charge periods are have to be shorter. The real issue is that what people can do is that they don't have to, if they don't carry a securities license. Okay? See, because the securities laws and the CFP, I'm a certified financial planner, so both bind me to have full disclosure. In insurance, you don't have to. So when a simple question is like, well, how are you compensated? They lie. Oh, the insurance company pays me. You don't. Really? You see, if you're in the securities business or you're a CFP, you have to say, this is how much I make, X. I will make, in some cases, I've seen them. There's one annuity I saw was 5% per year for 4 years. 20%. You'd have to say, well, you know, that $100,000 you put in, I get 20. Really? Where does that come from? Oh, it's the magic insurance company fairy just dusting $20,000 in my account. But you won't actually pay for it. Not you. It won't come out of your returns. Amazing. But they don't have to. So those are the two basic questions. Now, how does that actually perform? Does it work? Well, of course, the logic says no, it can't, and we all know that, right? Your grandmother knew there's no such thing as a free lunch. Everybody knows that. You can't have stock market returns without risk. You can't. You can't. We all know that is true. But what happens now is we get this amping up of with the fear of market, any type of turmoil that happens in the markets, then you're going to hear this amped up, and everybody gets all nervous, and they fall prey to the idea of anything that would relieve that risk, relieve the pressure, relieve the concern, because after all, we want to have blaring at us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, noise of the end of the world. Let's turn the volume up. And they do, and people do, and this is what we call our information inputs. It's not. Now, we know logically that when I say things like, we don't do any of these, but the commissions are incredible. So let's just take and say the commissions are 10%. Just take a number. There's a zillion of them that have 10% or more, but let's just say it's 10. So if we move a tiny piece of our client's money at Petzl Financial to a product that with all good logic, right? You know, because you get stock market returns with no risk. Who wouldn't do that? I'd love that. Well, that would be like, you know, a $20 million payday. If we moved it all, it would. You get the point. It's a lot more. And why wouldn't I do that? Do I own one of these? Of course not. Do any advisors own these? No, they don't. Why do people say they're bad if they're so good? They all do. All of us do. All certified financial planners that I know. No, don't do that. All of them. All of the people that are out there commenting as a, if you will, a consumer choice, consumer information. Don't do that. We don't do it, and it would be in our total selfish interest to do it. Won't do it. So logic would sometimes, should probably stop people from doing it, but it doesn't. Why doesn't it work? Well, I've got three different examples, and this is really, some of these are, this is really super important, okay? We know it doesn't work. We know you're going to stay, but here's the deal. I get this all the time. Say, well, Dave, you're preaching to the choir. I'm not going to go to stupid annuity sales thing. I know, but your neighbor might. Your parents will. You need to be armed with the information. You really do. You really do. You really, really, really do. When we talk about this, I'm going to give you, this is a well-known company. I'm not going to say who it is. Yeah, I can't because of all the disclosures and stuff. Okay, but here's what I have here is the quarterly statement, right? So we know exactly what it was and how much money went in and how much is earned, right? And it happens to be that this was issued at the beginning of 2008. I mean to tell you, if you got a product that is going to just capture those stock market returns and not go down, you couldn't pick a better time to buy this product compared to the stupid S&P, which is about to go down 50%. This one won't, because it's guaranteed. And you know what? It didn't go down in 2008, and the S&P did. As we all know, 2000 was bad. So a year later, this is basically worth what you put in. You can't take the money out because the surrender charges are so high. Oh, yeah, they're still really high. That's all right. Let's talk about this because this was actually issued in 2008, the beginning of 2000, March of 2008. Since that time, if you don't include the fact that the surrender charges would wipe out any gains, you would gain $200 on the $27,000 that went in. Okay? $200 after surrender charges. That's where we are today on this product. But if we don't include that, it's actually up 16%. But it didn't go through the 50% decline. But how did the stock market do comparatively? Because that's what the claim is. Stock market returns with no risk. We have these stop losses. You see, they go up and boom, 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 and then you can't go below. Wow, fascinating. So with the market at all-time highs, now let's come back to all-time highs. How'd the market do? After a rough start, the worst possible start, the worst start in our investment lifetimes, the S&P is up 60%. 60 from March of 2008. This product is up 16, and you can't get your money out. You can't get the gain out. By the way, any business day, the S&P is open. You can get it out every day. 16%, because you don't get the market returns. They cap them. Product number two, you get 5% cost with a 10% cap. So when the market did 30% last year, you got 5. Oh, you don't lose in down years, but you sure as heck never win. You can't. So if the market's up 6, you get 1. There's a 5% cost there. I wonder where that goes. Oh, yeah, that's right. The Magic Fairy insurance company commissions that you don't really pay. Still can't get out. You can't find a better comparable period for this type of product, and it's a loser. It can't win. It's a loser. Here's another one. $150,000 put in. And these are called, this is complicated, and I'm going to narrow it down to just say, please, 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 ask all the questions. This is a company that steps up your balance daily. Wow, Carl, you mean I get the high mark of the market all the time? You do. That's awesome. It only costs about 2% extra a year. Make it 3 with all the costs of the underlying. Okay, more like 4. It's more like 4. All right, but it's 4. But, hey, we keep getting to step up, right? And so I could put it in the stocks, and if they go up, I win, minus the 4%. But I get it all. There's no caps and stuff. Oh, I can't buy all stocks. No, you can't. But it's okay, because, you know, a balanced, diversified portfolio, that's all better for you. Plus, we have this thing called an algorithm. So when the market hiccups, it'll pull you out. Oh, is that for me or for the insurance company? Oh, no. No, of course, that's for you. What does it do? Well, I'll tell you how effective it is. It effectively pulls money out after markets crater, and it doesn't get you back in forever. Guess what? Can't win. Same problem. Who is that protecting? Who's the guarantee protecting? You? By moving money out of the market? Not letting you be in the market? Be careful. I'm not saying never, ever, 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 ever own an annuity. But here we are with looking at the world as fixed interest rates. A fixed, straight up, what you used to buy, hey, annuity. No gimmicks, no games. No, you get stock market returns without stock market risk. No, you don't. You don't. You don't. And you know you don't. But what you're doing with them is you're buying super low interest rates, the lowest interest rates of your life. And in many cases, if you pay, have an annuity payout for the rest of your life, you're locking it in. So they just don't have a place in my mind. Now, it's becoming more difficult, but there is an annuity company out there when people want income guarantees. One company only from any of them I've seen, only one, that actually allows you to invest in the market. All of it. You can actually take risk, and they guarantee the long-term income results. It's actually a pretty fair deal. I don't think you need it because I think that, you know, for the most part, you don't need it. Markets recover. Markets are fine. Diversified portfolio works better. You don't have all the costs. But that's not what's used. And I'm going to make up a number. 99.9% of the time, it's this stuff here. This high commission garbage. Here. It's garbage. And they won't do a thing about it. So I can't tell you anything except buyer beware. Just don't go to the seminars. You don't want to go to seminars anyway. It's financial pornography. That's all it is. It's not information. One-sided. This is what you do. Sending people to a fear seminar and feeding them is not, that's not information. It's not helpful. So don't go. Because, see, the problem is when people come in our office with all of these, it's too late. People have already been paid the commissions, and they're locked in. This one here has a 14-year surrender charge. 14 years. This one here has, oh, it only has 10. That's pretty good. This one here, best we can gather is 14 years also. We know it's not 10. We don't think it's more than 15. That's the best we can gather with it. You're stuck. You see, you're stuck. You're stuck. This investment here has been made since 2008, and they would get out less than 1% after the surrender charges. 6 full years later. Doesn't work. So when you get in, you're stuck. You're done. And they're all sold on fear. So please, if you have any questions, hey, give me a call. You have any comments? You don't agree? You think that these things are the greatest things since sliced bread? Hey, I'll be happy to debate you anytime. Right here, right now would be awesome. Let's do that. Show us how this works, ever. Show us when it's worked. If it doesn't work in 2008, how does it work? When might be a time for it to work? Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Any questions? We've been covering the whole gamut. What an incredibly interesting week with the hedge funds unwinding. We had a big busted deal this week, right? We have a lot going on. This is really, I'm telling you, there's a lot of market news. There's almost never market news. We had to go through the whole summer, the whole year, talking about, we talked about stuff, and we talked about the most important things. But there really is a lot going on out there right now. So give us a call at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Now on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us now. I really do need your response on the phones. It's 580-KIDO. It's also Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. So please do tap out an email or ring us up. We really like talking to you. Now, I thought in this little, I would just real quickly talk a little bit about the, I touched on this, right? The unwinding of the MLPs when they went way down. Now, what are MLPs? They're master limited partnerships. What does that mean? That means they trade like stocks. They just they're not retaining earnings to grow. Okay, so they have very high income. Many of them are pipeline companies, so it doesn't really matter what the price of energy is, does it? Doesn't really matter. So what we have is that we've got a situation where these got really whacked. Why? Now, this is what you want to understand when people say, well, hedge funds got mispositioned, we're out of position, things like that. Okay, so what does that mean? Hedge funds tend to make big bets. Big bets. Okay? And they make their big bets by borrowing money. Now, this was an easy play when everything's calm because interest rates are so low. They can go borrow money at, let's just say, 3% and go buy these pipeline companies that are yielding 6 or 7%. Well, that really works. The more leverage, the better. Unless they go down, and then we get margin calls, and then they collapse in a free fall of selling to cover the margin position. So that's what you have, and that's what we had in 2008, but we had it in everything, and even the brokerage houses, they were all levered up 6, 7, 8 to 1. They're not anymore. But you still have crazy hedge funds that do that, and they do it in certain sectors. You'll see that in currency markets sometimes, where they borrow short-term, go long, all those things. Hey, a little bit of borrowing, right areas, not a problem. But they get over-levered, and when prices move, they collapse, and prices got whacked hard. Very, very interesting. And by the end of the week, of course, they bounce back with vengeance. Got those short-termers out, the hedge funds, whacked them over the head. Huge losses in the area. Huge losses. Created amazing bargains. Be on your toes. Create your list. When the market's volatile, great stuff can happen if you're a buyer. Let's go to Ron and Weezer. Ron, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to address the Dow theory a little bit.
Uh-huh. The Dow theory, you said?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. And where it's important for the Russell 2000 and the transportation, Dow transportations to be going along in the same direction as the market. And basically what I overlooked was that the Russell 2000 actually peaked in March.
Mm-hmm.
And it came very close, like within 1 point of peaking again in September, but it did not. And so here's something that was making the market weak that I overlooked again, as it was in the year 2007. The Dow, the Russell 2000 and the transportations actually peaked a year before the massive decline in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hear people talking much about it.
Well, yeah, Ron, you know, because like a stopwatch, every theory or, you know, or technical analysis of some kind has is right periodically. And I'm not saying it's only right once every 24 times, okay? But it is not, it's still followed by some, but the Dow theory, that they both have to be moving in tandem, has been wrong a lot. And part of the reason for that, I think, is that the world is, as it always does, it changes. When we were just an industrial company, then the price of energy and things like that that would directly nail the transports was the most important thing to the whole economy always, right? Because it was such a huge input cost. And as we've become more efficient with energy and we've become more diverse, meaning a service-oriented economy, I think it's less tied into the overall economy. Therefore, they've moved apart. And we can look at certain times, and also the Russell is another thing that people cite. There's been a lot of weakness. I didn't see it before as a big problem, and I really don't. I think markets correct all the time. So if we're talking about this like it's a bear market, we've got a lot of drop to go from here for that to occur. Normal corrections happen all the time. About once every 10 months, we get an 8% or greater drop. Every 10 months. And it's been like 3 years since we've had one. It's a crazy long period of time. So to not have one. So we have one, and we're looking at this, I think, as maybe the Russell has been really weak and it has some indicators. I agree with you. It's been very weak. The Russell 2000, the small caps, have been terrible for quite a while. Very big underperformers. So have the global markets compared to the U.S. large caps. So, but I see that more as a correction within the markets. That's what I've seen so far. I think it's a great time to be buying. Not just the large caps, but also small, because they've been in a bit of a correction mode. But I want to hear how you see it, Ron.
Well, I haven't been following the market that close because I've been busy in other areas. But you think a person would able to at least chart the peaks? I mean, that's got to be pretty elementary.
Well, you can, but then what happens when the peaks get exceeded and they keep going?
Yeah.
I can find that chart in sec. Well, here it is. I flipped it open today. Yeah, that's right, because I was going to talk about this a little bit. I actually flipped it open. So if we look at the peak, right, and I'm talking S&P because it's a broader. I know you wanted to talk about the Dow, but I understand it's a broader. The S&P is a little broader, right? So we peak at 1527 on March 24th of 2000. And then it sinks, right? We just go poof. And this is funny because this is like this chart, boom, 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 boom. What's the chart going to do next? I mean, a child could do this chart. The problem is it didn't stop this time, right? So we went back up to 1565, real close to the same thing. On the chart here, it looks like we got to the same level, and then we collapsed again. Back down to the same level, by the way. And then you go up here again. And we should have stopped, but we didn't. We went on to 2000. So you see, that's the problem. It's not simple. It's not simple. Anybody can draw these things. But why, if we're talking about businesses in a sense like this, right? These are real businesses. They're not ticker symbols. They generate profits. Are they selling more Tide and diapers in Brazil than the year before and all the other markets? The answer is yes, Procter & Gamble is. Then they raise their dividend year after year after year after year, 58 years in a row. That's fundamental, right? That's fundamental analysis. Or we look at it and go, well, PG had this candle top crossing the head and shoulders thingy-mabobber. And so the PG symbol is going to do what? And that's called technical analysis. I think it's also called numerology. But anyway, it seems kind of weird because we're talking about real businesses here. So why would they stop at some set number? They won't. But the set number can be a happenstance to it doing it once, twice, or what have you. The same thing is true. Well, Micron trades in this little narrow range. Why don't I trade it from $5 to $7? Well, because then it breaks out and it goes to 30 and you miss it. That's why. And the breakout is not known. Why did that happen? Well, I guess a technician would go, because we broke out of the 200-day moving average and it crossed over this and we had the golden cross thingy mabobber happen. And I would go, I thought it was because Micron was making gobs of money selling microchips and they bought a factory for next to nothing and they were making gobs of money with that new factory and the demand for their product was skyrocketing. I didn't realize it was a candelabra crossing thing. You see, that so to me, and I know I sound like I'm really being insulting, but sometimes I just go, why are we talking about this when we're talking about real businesses here, which is what you would own if you thought like Warren Buffett, which we admire how he thinks. So that's what he always says. Look at it like you're buying the whole business. Is it a good business to own?
So if you believed the CNBC, then the chartist would be the richest guy on the block.
That's exactly right, and I keep waiting for that guy to come around. I know. But they don't have anything to talk about. CNBC always does it. You know, I even hear Kramer. Kramer going, I'm going to do my chart thing, you know, because I'll watch it in the morning when I'm working out. I watch a little bit of Squawk Box. And so I'll catch a piece of him from time to time. And he goes, what are you going to talk about? Well, we're going to walk through the charts. Really? Really? And do what? Predict the unknowable off of numerology. Okay. I would rather buy great businesses when they get discounted and be patient. But that's not nearly as newsy, and we got to move money, we got to get people's eyeballs watching, as apparently Chartists are, although I like the looks of a Warren Buffett's bank account, and that's how he invests.
Yep. All righty, thank you.
Ron, thank you. I appreciate it. And I really enjoyed the discussion on the Dow theory. I grew up with that. 30 years ago, that was the technical theory, right? The Dow theory.
Cool.
Transport. So, yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And we have to take a quick break here for Fox News. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's with Dave Pezzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. And, you know, I want to again reiterate that although markets are volatile, and we know they are, and they know what we know they're going to be, when they happen, it's not fun. I know that. I totally get that. It just it plays with our psyche. It just really does. But we can't know the future, and we just have to get over that. And the fact of the matter is, in order to have and own the great corporations of the world that have done better than anything else by so far, it's like galaxies apart. It's not even close. And it's not knowable what the future is. Therefore, it's not timing that you can get right. You just have to own things and go through the fluctuations. And when you can, have enough courage to shift things around to buy more. We used some bonds on last Wednesday. This is true. It's not because, wow, look at us, great timing. Hey, this can go down more. But here's the point. Wednesday was a big day for bonds. They went up big. And the market went down a lot and then kind of recovered a little bit. Okay, didn't go up, but it's still down for the day. But it was recovering. It's like, phew. And some areas, as we've talked, are down 10, 20% and more. It's time to move. Not because that's the bottom. I don't know what the bottom is. But I do know that there's some things that are 20% cheaper than they were when everybody loved them a month ago. That's what I know. And that's what I want. That's all I can ask. What's cheap, what's dear in the world? Not what's going to happen next week. Don't know. I don't know what Putin's going to do. I don't know what nut jobs like that do. What they think. I don't care. The ruble is collapsing. The Russian economy is collapsing. He doesn't seem to care. I don't know what drives him. I don't know what nut jobs in the Middle East to cut people's heads off and strap bombs to children, and talk about 20 virgins in heaven. I don't know how you deal with that, except to shoot them. I don't know what you do. And I don't know what's going to happen next week with the nut jobs of the world. But I do know that corporations work around nut jobs. They work around terrible, incredible, leaderless presidencies. They work around numbskull politicians, horrible tax policies to continue to grow. That's what happens. I know. I know these can feel icky. Turn the TV off then. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Kurt. Kurt, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to make some comments about what you're talking about. In 1981, I was a young man, and I bought two IRAs at the end of the tax season, and I didn't know what I was doing. But anyways, I bought a Templeton World Fund and an ANCAP fund.
Two of the greatest funds ever. Those are two great funds. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and in those days, the load charges were ridiculous.
8.5%, right?
7.5%.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, then I got married, had kids, moved, this and that. Totally forgot about them. Never added to those IRAs, never borrowed from them, nothing. Anyways, 30-some years later, those two little IRAs, which I think the total investment was something around $3,000, they're worth $92,000. Now, that's a small part of my total portfolio today, but I think it illustrates what you're trying to say, and I'll hang up.
Kurt, that's beautiful. And boy, did you ever walk me down memory lane, because you see, it was 1981 when I started here, around here, right? And Templeton funds were my John Templeton is my idol and mentor. He doesn't, you know, he's died now, but I was fortunate to get to meet him a couple of times. But I just poured through everything he wrote. It was just such a wise man, and so I just wanted him to be like him and invest like him. And but anyway, Templeton Growth Fund, what a great fund that was. And John Templeton, I'll tell you how great an investor he was. He outperformed the S&P 500 by 5 percentage points per year for 30 years. 30 years. It's inconceivable. That's what that is. Just inconceivable. Inconceivable. At any rate, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hey, we got a little bit behind. I got to take a quick break. And thank you again, Kirk. And when we come back, I'd love to take your calls. I know we had a couple of people try to call in earlier. And one of them we couldn't hear on the phone. So, hey, shoot us back. The board is empty at 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, we still have time. Dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
All right, you all. We've got plenty of time. Take some calls. There's nobody on the line. Give us a call right now, 580-KIDO, 580-5436 is our number. Love to answer any last-minute calls. I'm not sure why it's hard, because when we think in the abstract, this is really easy. But I think it's just simple emotion, right? It's just simple human emotion, fear. We just get fearful. It's all going to go away. I'll need my money out and when prices are low. Or believe it or not, in our minds, sometimes people think it's all going to go away, right? Well, if it does, I don't care if you have a pile of cash under your mattress. It's not worth anything, right? Right? But I do. I think we just get really caught up in the fear, and obviously all the news inputs make it worse. Because in the abstract, we all say the same thing, don't we? Right? I want to buy low, sell high, you know. Can't wait for stocks to come down a little bit and I'll jump on it. And you know what? Some people do. Some people are. But we also know it is scary for some people, for a lot of people. Let's go ahead and go to Steve. Steve, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
You bet, Dave. How you been doing?
I've been good. Thank you, sir.
Good. Hey, I've got a question for you. I've appreciated your comments about volatility and how, you know, people will kind of take the latest event, like, you know, like the Ebola crisis, things like that, and kind of say, you know, does that mean the stock market is, you know, that's it, that we're going to have some massive correction from it. But here's my question to you. Where do you kind of see maybe mid-size, smaller cap companies as possible investments. In other words, you know, folks that are a little nervous about kind of buying maybe, you know, the blue chips, the big stuff, because they're just nervous about the market. Do you see, like, more investment opportunities with maybe smaller companies, maybe even some startups? Is there anything there?
Well, that's a harder one, Steve, you know, because first of all, for, you know, when we're looking at, I do some, you know, what do you want to call it, angel investing, like, you know, on startups and things like that. But I've got the capital to do it. Many people don't, most don't, and they don't have the capital to lose, so they can't do that because it's too risky. It is very risky. It's high risk, high return. And there aren't, because they're not stable companies yet. So we think about the miracle to become a big company. It's a miracle to get a company up and going and profitable. Whew! First miracle made. Second miracle, it keeps growing. Why don't we put it out on the exchange? You know, there's tens of thousands of little dinky companies out there on the exchange, but it's an absolute miracle to get it there. To think of it then becoming a mid-cap company is laughable long odds, let alone a large cap. You see what I'm saying? I mean, to get there, these companies go through a gauntlet that is really inconceivable when you think about how hard it is to be successful in a competitive world. So they're very big companies, very dynamic. Those are the safest ones because they have reserves and they have branding, right, that's worth a lot. So the smaller ones really do have more risk, and that's why we've seen, like, the Russell 2000, which, you know, tracking, is not doing as well. But you are referring to an area that's fascinating to me because of all the private equity that there is out there. So I like that, and it's now available to people through mutual funds. So I do think that it's a very good alternative to put a little bit of money in those private equity funds. I think that's a really interesting place. Be very careful. It's kind of a hot area now, and the thing I don't like about hot is they cool off.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of buzz. Everybody's talking about it. I'd rather go buy the small caps because they just got whacked. They're down, you know, from the peak, they were down nearly 20%. Hey, that's interesting to me.
Yeah, they have taken a hit. So you're thinking that if you go that route, you kind of go to the mutual fund and you try to take advantage of, you know, a little bit broader instead of thinking about it from a company standpoint, not to try to pick and choose a particular company, but lower the risk by doing it through a mutual fund.
Exactly. Plus, you're talking about experts that are managing the money. I mean, they have a lot better shot, and they've got money to back it up. Maybe it's worth going back in with more money to save the company, to try to save your original investment, or maybe it's not, because then it's throwing good money after bad. They're going to do a much better job than an individual looking at it and going, that's a pretty cool idea. Well, it might be a cool idea, but still getting it to market is a miracle.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I put some money into UseWorld. And that was like, I mean, and this is really small, right? That was about 15, 18 cents, literally 15, 18 cents a share. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it did pretty well. I mean, it went up quite a bit, and it kept making me think, okay, what are there smaller companies out there? But, you know, it's tricky, right? Because, I mean, it's only one company, and, I mean, it could have just, you know, I put some money into another company.
Yep.
You know, it was also, call it a penny stock, I guess, but it didn't go anywhere. So I looked at that, and I said, okay. You know, so whatever money I made on one, you know, I got nothing on the other. In fact, I lost on the other. So
exactly. And that's why penny stocks are so dangerous. They're so dangerous. Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Steve, I appreciate the call. Thank you for calling.
You bet. Take care.
Have a great day. And we are just about done. Folks, thanks very much. If you have any comments, questions, shoot those over to us at petsofinancial.com. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk.
Host of Money Matters is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Pezzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.